Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Wouldn't be a Sunday morning without a check-in with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Kevin, welcome back. Nice to have you on with us again. And all the talk this week has been about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Where are we with all of that right now? It is still paused, if I've been following it accurately.
Correct, Dean. Yeah, it's still on pause. It'll probably be on pause through the remainder of this week. And you know, I struggle a little bit with it being on pause, but we're being overly cautious, I would say. We just need to put everything in perspective. And if we are going to decide in the United States not to use it at all, let's certainly make sure that other parts of the world that have no vaccine options at all are getting the opportunity.
Why do you say that you struggle with it? Because of the numbers being so low of people who've been affected with the blood clots? Is it 6 or 7 people out of millions?
Yeah, let's put it in perspective. So essentially the vaccine, and it hasn't been made to be a causal reagent yet. It looks like it, but it hasn't been fully vetted yet. But let's just say it's 1 out of 1 million. Would it surprise you if I said 1,000 out of 1 million individuals who are on birth control got blood clots? Or 1,700 out of 1 million smokers got blood clots? And probably the more important number is 165,000 out of 1 million COVID patients get blood clots. So when you put it in perspective of all of this, are we harming people by not vaccinating them, knowing that there's a 1 in 1 million chance for females? Okay, take females out of it. But are we harming people by not getting them vaccinated if they're smokers, if they are if they have a chance of getting COVID? So that's the part I'm struggling with, yeah. The ethics of, I understand the 1 in 1 million, and I feel bad for those families, but I also look at the individual who didn't get the vaccine in time, got COVID, and now 165,000 out of 1 million are getting blood clots.
So you would advise patients who have not been vaccinated yet, if their only option was a Johnson & Johnson vaccine, to go ahead with it then?
100%. I'm still a huge fan of Johnson & Johnson. I mean, I think, you know, I would hope that the FDA comes out and says, you know what, let's not give it to any females under the age of 48. Okay, now we've eliminated even those 1 in 1 million. But you have to remember that this is a vaccine that was tested against the variants, which our other ones were not. So, and it's a one and done. There's not going to be these people falling through the cracks of, boy, I couldn't get my second shot on time, or the side effects were so bad on the first, I'm going to not go back for the second, and you get less immunity and less coverage. So that's just my personal opinion, looking at the science behind it and the math behind it. We may be doing more of a disservice to this country by pausing this than putting some restrictions on it and going back to using it fully.
Yeah. I still am talking to people, and I'm kind of amazed at this, who are still hesitant to get any vaccine whatsoever. You know, it's almost as if people are looking for reasons to not get vaccinated. You know, they're hearing about reactions that people are having, side effects that people are having, and therefore saying, I'm not going to get that. I'm not going to get the Pfizer because I heard this, or I'm not going to get the Moderna because I heard that. And it just seems like they just don't want to be vaccinated.
And I hope those same people are looking at all of the studies coming out right now, you know, that are showing those individuals who do end up with COVID, 1 in 3 of them, 30%, are ending up with some type of long-term neurologic symptom, whether it's loss of taste or smell, whether it's brain fog, whether it's headaches. So people have to understand that, okay, you're going to get some side effects, and not everybody, but some people are going to get side effects from the vaccine. It's going to last 24, 48 hours. Take some Advil, but boy, I certainly wouldn't want to be the one saying, you know what, I'm not getting the vaccine, and then come back and say, well, now I have to deal with 6 months of brain fog or headaches that don't seem to be going away at all. Or, boy, I've lost my sense of taste and smell for 8 months. We have to balance some of this as we go forward and make sure that we're making the right decisions. And individually, everyone gets to make those decisions. You just live with the consequences.
Yeah. Are people able to choose the type of vaccine that they get? I mean, you know, the first obstacle was I can't even get an appointment. Now it seems like appointments are somewhat easier to get, not 100%, but certainly better than they were a month ago. And now with this Johnson & Johnson speed bump that's gone into this whole thing, are people able, if they go to get their vaccine and they say we have, well, I guess nobody's getting Johnson & Johnson right now, but can people say, I would like Moderna, I would like Pfizer?
Well, they could, but let me make sure I preface this right. If you show up at the clinic and they say, we have Pfizer, and you say, oh, I wanted Moderna, you leave for the day, because what we're running in the clinics are everybody who walks in the clinic on one day. So for us, we're doing about 1,200 a day. But when you walk in and you get it, you know you're getting Pfizer, because then we know your second dose is going to be saved is going to be a Pfizer dose. So we can't do Moderna and Pfizer on the same day. It would just be chaos as far as, you know, the follow-ups. But there's a lot of people, I can tell you, who are either calling ahead and saying, which one is it, and take me off the list, or they're showing up and say, you know what, I don't want to. And that wreaks a little havoc as well, is because we're trying to make sure we fill all these slots and don't lose any. Tomorrow will be a big day, obviously, as City of Chicago opens up to everybody essentially over the age of 16.
Right.
So there will be a lot of demand for shots, hopefully, that's starting this week.
Yeah, I would hope that was the case, but it just seems like this past week, especially with Johnson & Johnson, all the anti-vaxxers were coming out of the woodwork saying, see, I told you there were going to be problems with all of this, but that's not based in science, though, is it?
It's not. I mean, you have a better chance of getting hit by lightning than getting a blood clot from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I mean, if you feel that way, then you're the guy that should be playing the lottery every day if you think that the odds are so good that something bad is going to happen. But, and again, I just come back to, you know, seeing what these long haulers are going through right now and seeing what individuals who had COVID have gone through during the illness and then the long-term repercussions. I can tell you I'm happy that I'm fully vaccinated and encouraging all my friends and family to make sure that they are.
815 area code asks, I had COVID 2 months ago. My brother and mother have it now. If I'm in contact with them, could I carry it to give it to someone else?
Very possible. So even though you have the immunity right now from having the infection in the past, we still know that there are some cases where the individual could get reinfected, not to a point of having symptoms, but still being able to spread. That's the window that we're looking at, the same window we're looking at with those who are vaccinated, protected from getting severe illness, hospitalization, or death, but are they carriers? And that's still the problem that we're working on. Looking like it's a no, but certainly we don't have all the data. And that's why we're asking people to even wear masks after being vaccinated.
How soon before this person who had COVID 2 months ago should get vaccinated?
Right now. If they're symptom-free, you know, 14 days after your symptoms are over, you can. We're usually telling people to wait a month. But get in line now if you can. There's no reason not to. And know that those who have had COVID and are getting vaccinated are having a much better immune response than those of us who were naive to COVID, had never been exposed, and looking at our response. So you actually have better protection than the rest of the general public.
Yeah, I don't know where I heard this, but maybe you just made it up in my own mind. since I had COVID in November, that when I got my vaccinations, I had virtually no side effects. I literally only had a sore arm. I had absolutely nothing else. Is it true that somebody who had COVID gets vaccinated has less of a chance of all these side effects that we're hearing about?
Yeah, there's this big spectrum of side effects, obviously. Like you, I didn't have any side effects except a sore arm. My brother who got it, you know, felt terrible for a day. So immune responses and the symptoms are really variable. So some individuals who had COVID and got the vaccine, no problem, none whatsoever. Others who have had COVID and then got the vaccine, their immune system kicks on, and again, they're going to get those side effects. So I wish it was more predictable, but it certainly will make sure that you're protected more than any of us. As a matter of fact, you are probably, you know, in the sweet spot for protection. You've had the illness within the last 6 months, and you've been fully vaccinated. You are probably, you know, Superman as far as COVID antibodies.
Right. That's why I'm going around actually, instead of shaking hands with people, I'm licking hands with people now just to, you know, try to share whatever it is that I may have.
Yeah. That you should probably slow that down a little bit and at least get rid of the cape. I mean, the cape is probably a little overboard.
Kevin, that's the best part. It's the only reason I do it, so I can fling that cape around. 815 asks, I have a shellfish allergy. Is there one vaccine that's better for me than another?
No, either one is fine. And again, shellfish allergies run the spectrum of sometimes I get a little rash to other people who are like almost peanut allergies, where they really get a bad immune response and they have to make sure they carry an EpiPen. That individual, I would strongly encourage them to not get the vaccine at a drive-through clinic or at a Walgreens, but instead make sure you get it at a hospital or a health system where emergency services are really readily available.
Let's get to Susie at 3819817200. Pardon me, I forgot. One of my side effects is I can't remember the phone number that I've said a million times over the last 20 years. Susie, you're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Hi, Dean. Hi, Dr. Most. Question. I've had the Pfizer both shots. Now, what happens when you get if we have to get a booster, would I have to get Pfizer as the booster, or could I get Moderna as the booster? They know that answer yet.
They don't know that answer yet, Susie, and you're right on top of the news, right? Pfizer came out earlier this week and said there's a good chance we're going to need a booster in the fall. And both Moderna and Pfizer, which are making those mRNA vaccines, are able now to change their production a little bit to make sure they have better coverage for the variants. But the interesting thing is now the study that's going on that is showing, are these interchangeable and could you get Moderna instead of Pfizer? That's going on right now, and we should easily have response by June, well before the time that we need to get in line for that booster.
Okay, I appreciate your answer, and thank you for your time that you spent on the radio informing us, because I listen, and I like, you know, we need to be on top of it, and everyone should get the shot. I don't understand people that don't want to. This doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I'm with you 100%.
Go out and beat that drum. Yep. You know, tell your friends and family.
Thank you.
But do it from a safe distance, though, Susie. Thank you for the call. Carrie, you're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I am one of those people that are hesitant about getting the vaccine. I'll tell you why. I have an autoimmune disorder called antiphospholipid antibody syndrome. That's where my blood clots too much. And so I'm very concerned about what's going on with the vaccine right now. Should I wait to try to find a vaccine that isn't an mRNA form of a vaccine and go to a more traditional one?
Yeah, Carrie, you know, you fall into this one small group, you know, this autoimmune group, especially the autoimmune group that has a propensity for clotting, is one that we are saying, let's hold on a little bit here and let's make sure we can work around you as far as protection part of herd immunity. Individuals who are healthy and have no reason to not get vaccinated certainly need to get vaccinated. We know there's going to be a small portion of the population that won't be able to get vaccinated. The autoimmune ones are still kind of up in the air because we've seen very poor response from some individuals with autoimmune disease when they've been vaccinated. So the jury is still out on that. So I would say to you, hold off a little bit right now. Make sure that you do everything to keep yourself protected as you would normally. But really, we need to get our grasps around bigger numbers of individuals with autoimmune disease before we make a strong recommendation as to Pfizer, Moderna, you know, Novavax, AstraZeneca. That is being looked at as these numbers really start to grow.
Okay, great. Thank you for the information. That's kind of where I was with it. I was going to wait and try to see how the numbers were going as well, because I really don't know what to do at this point. So, and I have been taking precautions, wearing a mask when I go out. I do that all the time.
Yeah, and Carrie, you should be one that's encouraging others to get the vaccine, that to not only protect themselves, but to protect you. You know,
yes.
If you have a portion of the population who can't get vaccinated, we still know we need 80%, 75% to get vaccinated. 25% who aren't able to certainly should be protected by us who have the health system or health conditions that allow us to be vaccinated.
Oh, sure. I agree with that very much.
I'm so glad. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you for your call. Kevin, I'm glad that you added that last part on, because I could just hear some people going, see, this is why I don't want to get my vaccine. Listen to the problems that she's having, you know, possibly getting a vaccine and, you know, possible. But the point that you make is you still encourage people to get the vaccine to protect people like Carrie, who we have to wait to get more information on.
100%.
Let's go.
And it's a little discouraging that, you know, this should be, if you want to look at it, just as looking at caring for yourself, okay, get the vaccine because you're going to have great protection. If you want to look at this from a global measure of what's good for society, get the vaccine to protect all of us.
309 area code says, I'm having trouble getting a second dose in the 28 to 35 day window. If I can get my second dose on day 26 or 27, is that okay?
Yeah, it's okay. We prefer you almost go the other direction, but certainly don't miss your second dose. You know, you can really easily go up to 42 days. That's the number we're using right now, because that was the number that was essentially followed in the study, where that some of the individuals in that phase 3 trial ended up getting their second dose a little bit later. So we're hesitant to go early, but we'll certainly go late. And actually, some of the studies have shown that individuals that got their second dose even 12 weeks later still had a great response. So I would say look for somewhere, if you can't get it in the, you know, the 28th day and you're looking at 26, potentially look at opportunities maybe days 35 through 45.
312 area code wants to know when the Novavax will be approved. Do we have any idea on that yet?
We don't. You know, I think the wild cards here are what's going to happen with Johnson & Johnson, what's going to happen with AstraZeneca, and what's going to happen with Novavax. Those are the three wild cards. And I think, you know, when we look at the United States, we're pretty fortunate. You know, we are sitting here looking at, you know, 25, 30, depending on what state you're in, as far as number of people who have been vaccinated, with a clear supply chain with Pfizer and Moderna. But we have countries out there that, you know, have had less than 1% vaccinated because they don't have access to it. So I think the ethics of it, we need to figure out what can we do for the rest of the world as well as care for ourselves. So more companies come on. I'm hoping that we're being able to send these more internationally to some of the poorer countries, because this is a global illness.
Yeah. Dr. Kevin Most is the Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Kevin, thanks as always. Hope you have a great Sunday. Thank you, sir.
You got it, Dean. Take care.